This podcast is paid for by Principal. No matter who you are or where you are in life, with the right financial partner, progress is possible. Welcome to Progress Personified. My name is Justin Warner. On a planet of 7 billion people, it's easy to feel insignificant. Stack up the problems of the world, the hunger, the poverty, the stark inequalities, and you might feel pretty powerless to make any kind of real difference. But every now and then, timing and circumstances conspire, and an opportunity arises for the right person to become a hero.
My name is Ramiro Casio, Jr.
Ramiro's path began humbly in Boston, Massachusetts. That he would one day find his name splashed across headlines and be hailed the subway hero by a city, that was all years off. Ramiro was born in Boston, Massachusetts. When he was 5, his father passed away and his mother, who's from Honduras, made a decision.
She just thought it would have been easier for her to raise me and my sister in Honduras instead of being in a big city like Boston.
Wow. And so you're just maybe starting to go to school and then you're uprooted and have to go to Honduras. So what's it like to go from Boston, you know, Celtics, Red Sox, and then boom, Honduras?
Well, growing up in Honduras, it was probably the best thing that happened to me in my life because I went to a private school, but I used to live in a neighborhood where a lot of poor people are. And at a young age, I saw the difference of kids eating nice sandwiches in a private school and then coming back to my neighborhood and seeing kids probably going to sleep without eating.
While other children might have been blind to these socioeconomic differences, Ramiro was keenly aware of what his family had and what other families didn't. On Christmas morning, instead of celebrating the pile of presents beneath the tree, he was thinking of his friends who got nothing.
I used to see my friends, and this is one of the visuals that I would never forget, that I'm opening my toys. And then in Honduras, it's really common for you to jump to house. It's not that many fences. It's a lot of windows. And I will see a lot of my friends put their face in the window and just trying to make like a shadow with their hands on top of the eyes, then just to see what kind of toys I was getting. And it just didn't feel right. I was the only one in the neighborhood getting toys. And I asked my mom, why is the reason I get toys? And I just said to her that starting that year, I think I was 7 or 8, that I didn't want any more toys in Christmas because if my friend's not going to get anything, I don't want them to feel bad I had all the toys.
That's a really amazing charitable feeling for a 7-year-old. Where's that coming from?
I know I was young. It just didn't feel like if you're eating something and you got 3 people next to you just looking at you and you know they're hungry. So if you don't have enough to share, might as well not to eat and just make the other people feel good.
You can hear in his simple explanation how Ramiro is hardwired to notice inequality. When others are lacking something, his instinct is to also go without. Ramiro continued to live in Honduras with his family until he was 18, when he made the decision to return to the United States.
When I was 18, I landed in Miami. That was the first city I came to the United States. I'm taking the train from Miami to Boston, a stop in Penn Station. It was a 3-hour layover, and I said, I need to get out of Penn Station and see New York City. I got out of Penn Station. I saw this yellow cab beeping at each other. I bought a slice of pizza. I bought a hot dog. I jumped on a payphone. I called back my country. I was telling everybody I was in New York City. And I said to myself, I'm going to be back in the city, and I want to live in New York City.
Eventually, Ramiro found his way back to New York City with little more than a dream. He found work as a busboy and eventually moved up to waiting tables. He loved interacting with people, but the volatile hours and low pay took a toll on him. He knew if he was going to stay afloat in New York, he would need to lock down a job that would offer steady pay, benefits, and the chance for advancement.
So I'm very outspoken, talk to a lot of people about what I'm doing just to get ideas. And a friend of mine here in New York City said, look, I have a friend who works in a big law firm. You're going to be working as a copier. So I landed that job.
Just like that, Ramiro was on his way. After a few years working at that law firm, he landed a job in the mailroom with another firm, Kirkland Ellis. The pay was good, he liked his coworkers, and best of all, he was getting to live in the city he loved. Those years watching his friends struggle back in Honduras seemed like a distant memory until a trip back to Honduras over the holidays. Ramiro had an encounter that would alter the course of his life.
At a Christmas party, a friend of mine invited me. She throws like the biggest party in town, you know, a lot of food, a lot of drinks. And it's very common for big houses and small houses to be next to each other in Honduras. And I'm eating at the table, and this little kid asked me for food. And I remember telling him that I was going to fix him a plate, just wait for me. I got out of the table, and the kid just took my plate and ran away. And I chased him, started chasing him. I was mad, and I'm chasing him, and I thought I was chasing a thief, and I'm chasing him, and finally I caught up to him like 3 or 4 blocks just to realize that he was just trying to bring food to his family on Christmas. He was hungry. And right there, I just couldn't say anything. And I got back to my friend's house and I said to her, listen to me, do me a favor. Just fix me like 10 plates. I would like to give some neighbors some food. And she said, sure. And I remember walking back. I approached this family and I said to them, look, I won't be able to fix all your problems. It's Christmas. We're having a great time. You're not eating. And it brought me back when I was a little kid, memories of me having toys, me having food, and a lot of people next to me not having anything.
Suddenly, Ramiro remembered what it was like to see his friends peering in his windows Christmas morning to watch him open his presents, and that terrible feeling of knowing they didn't have any presents beneath their trees. This time, when he returned to the U.S., he knew he couldn't let those memories fade.
I came back to the States, and I remember everybody has New Year's resolutions. And that year, I said to myself, I'm going to put $80 to $70 a paycheck on an envelope, and I'm going to write Honduras. And I'm going to go to Honduras in December, and I want to buy food for at least 20 to 30 families. I don't know what village I'm going to go to. I'm just going to do it.
Most people break their New Year's resolutions within a week, maybe a month. Not Ramiro. Every 2 weeks when he got his paycheck, he faithfully set aside money for families back in Honduras. By the time he returned the next December, he had saved enough to make an impact.
When I came to Honduras, I brought like $1,500 that year, and we bought food for 25 to 30 families, and every year started getting bigger. I really think the way I have been able to do this is just showing people what I do instead of asking. You don't have to be Bill Gates or a millionaire to make a difference in people.
Ramiro's charity continued to grow. His coworkers at Kirkland Ellis took notice, and they began to contribute. Each year, the sum grew a little more, until the fourth year when Ramiro walked with $4,000, all without him ever asking for a dollar. And things would have probably continued like this. Ramiro raises a small but meaningful sum, and he makes his yearly pilgrimage back to Honduras. But something would happen that would interrupt this cycle.
2013, my life was changed forever. It was Martin Luther King weekend, and that Friday, the only thing I have in my mind is where I'm going to watch the New England Patriots that weekend against the Ravens. I'm calling all of my friends. Where are we going to go? Are we going to go to a bar? Are we going to go to your house? This is a huge game. I'm just asking my friends, where are we going to watch this party? I'm just trying to get my, even though the game is Sunday and it's Friday, I'm already thinking about Sunday. At my job, every time it's a holiday, you can get out of work 2 hours early. So I got out of work at 3 o'clock.
With his head in the end zone, Ramiro walked a few blocks to the subway stop at 59th and Lexington. Like most New Yorkers, he'd learned to tune out the noises and distractions around him as he waited for the next train.
And I'm waiting for the train, and I finally heard a lot of commotion behind me, but I didn't pay attention. There's somebody singing, in New York City, you just never know. And people started rushing me back. And when I turned my back, I saw this man. I will never forget his face, his fear on the middle of the track. He was crawling, trying to get up. I see this man asking for help. On 59 Lexington, there's a curve. So you cannot really see how close the train is coming, but lights were approaching the station. And I said to myself, you know what? I have to do something. I just cannot let this man die in front of my eyes. So I jumped. I grabbed this man. Everything happened in seconds. On those 2 seconds that I picked him up, I grabbed him by his collar, the back of the jeans, threw this man on the platform. Now I'm trying to get up, and I didn't realize how deep the station is. You can't really put your feet like on the wall to get up, so your upper body needs to be really, you need to be strong. So at that time, I'm just feeling the ground on the train station shaking. Because, you know, this massive turf is coming. I don't want to look. So I'm just looking up, asking for help for people to pick me up. I tried the first time to jump up, fell back down. I put my arms. 4 or 5 people picked me up. Next thing you know, the train passed by.
In a matter of seconds, Ramiro saved someone's life and cheated death. People were hugging him and crying, calling him a hero, and asking what came over him. But what could he say? To him, it's always been second nature to help, even if his heroism is usually a little quieter.
So I just went home, and when I woke up the next day, I probably had over 100 text messages. My Facebook was going crazy. Channel 7 is knocking on my door.
But Ramiro didn't seek the limelight. Instead, he saw an opportunity to help others progress.
Now people will Google me and say, oh my God, this is the guy who goes to Honduras.
Ramiro used his newfound stardom to bring attention to the charity work he'd been doing for the past 5 years.
The amount of support started pouring left and right. Wow, you know what? This is bigger than me. This is bigger than anything I ever done in my life. And all these people are backing me up. And the foundation was born after that.
His humble contributions had now grown into a bona fide charity.
We put together that foundation. We put the board of directors together. And I remember the first meeting we had, all of the board of directors said to me, Ramiro, what you want to do? And I say, I want the foundation to be focused on education.
Ramiro named his organization the Foundation for Education in Honduras and set his sights beyond bringing food to the hungry. He realized that by equipping kids with an education, he could help lift them out of poverty permanently. And the results have been stunning.
Now, the Foundation for Education in Honduras recently, October 10 of this year, was a year since we laid ground on the first school. We have been able to build 3 schools. 500 kids have been benefit from this. 13,000 people have been impacted. Not only because they have a brand new school to the community, just because we have been able to hire artisans to do our shoes, uniforms, backpacks. People have been hired. Community has been uplifting. And last week, we reached the mark of $250,000. So in 1 year, I have to say that I'm so lucky that I've been able to have all these amazing people supporting me all the way up to from the board of directors to the volunteers in Honduras.
You've already done so much, but where do you see the foundation going from here?
So my dream is we have 298 towns in Honduras, and the mission of FAE is not only to build schools. The mission, the FAE, and my mission is to inspire the people, not only in my country and other countries, that we can make this world a better place. I live in the best city in the world, and with the best people in the world and the best country in the world. And we have an obligation to make this world a better place. And being blessed on living in the United States, being born here, I can see myself in 5 years not only have built so many schools in Honduras, but taking this abroad and go to other countries and recreate this model that is so effective when you put communities together, even though they have differences. I've been to communities where family haven't spoken 20 years, but the common goal is to help our kids have a better future and get out of poverty. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to be sad. Everybody wants to be happy. And the thing is, lack of opportunity have people do the wrong thing. I believe everybody's good. It just people haven't been given the opportunity. And if I can make this world 2% better. My job has been done.
What began with bringing a few plates of food to some hungry neighbors has turned into an international charity organization effecting real and lasting change. All because Ramiro never stopped seeing need and never waited for someone else to help. View photos of Ramiro's work in Honduras at theguardian.com/progresspersonified. I'm Justin Warner, and this is Progress Personified. Thanks for listening. This podcast was created by Guardian Labs US and paid for by Principal. Produced by Carrie Budge and Devin Taylor. Presented by me, Justin Warner. Sound designed by Pascal Wise. And the series editor was Sachin Chanalikar.